Yo, hello everybody. Hope you have a good day and hope you're doing well. Thank you that you're still listening to my podcast. I have two longer episodes recorded for you. The first one is getting released today. You're listening right now to it. And the second one is getting out next week. So stay in for that because both episodes were beautiful. I invited over Dangerous. If you don't know him, he's a Super Mario Odyssey speedrunner who also makes tutorials about that game on YouTube. So that's how I learned about him. I saw him on YouTube. I thought like, hey, this guy's trying the similar things than I try to do for Celeste. So maybe let's invite him. We can probably talk about great topics. And hell yeah, we had some great talk, great chatting. The first episode, the one you're listening to right now, is going about general advice for speedrunners, like time investment, practice, how to get into this entire speedrun thing. And we had like a very, very fun conversation. I really like learned a lot from him, how to stay motivated. He talked very beautifully about those things. So definitely worth, but don't forget to also like subscribe to this podcast and check out the next episode that comes out next week, because that one was as good as this one. So yeah, but now for now, have fun with the episode and see you in the podcast. Hello everybody, my name is Flash177 with another Speedrun Education podcast recording. Today I have Dangerous with me. Dangerous is in Super Mario Odyssey speedrunner. Let's introduce yourself outside of that.
Hello, yeah, my name is Dangerous, Super Mario Odyssey speedrunner. Been speedrunning for a very long time, but started picking up Super Mario Odyssey in 2018 of May. I live in Canada, and I mean, that's kind of what I do. I'm a streamer. I do it full time now.
That's awesome.
That's what I'm about.
Not many speedrunners can do that, but it's awesome to see that more and more rise to the top. One thing right away, what are you doing on Twitch? You already said it. You do speedruns. What else do you speedrun besides SMO, for example?
So SMO, I've kind of branded myself as the SMO speedrunning guy. There's like, you know, if you're familiar with speedrunning, you know that there's a whole bunch of different categories. Like,
yeah,
you watch somebody like Cheese, for example, and he's like kind of the 120 star guy. You know, you kind of know him for the game and the category, whereas I'm a jack of all trades kind of thing. So if I get bored with one category, I kind of move on to the next. You know, and Odyssey is such a huge community. There's a lot of what we call category extensions, which is like secondary achievements and accomplishments and stuff like that. Very interesting routing, going for all the purple coins, for example, or gathering all the music tracks, or beating the game with certain like restrictions on it. And so I've spent a lot of time streaming different categories of Super Mario Odyssey to showcase what it looks like to speedrun the game in so many different ways. But I've always loved Mario. Mm-hmm. Mario's my game. I love Mario games. It's kind of the nostalgia in me. It was what started me in speedrunning with Super Mario World like ages ago. So I hope to bring some other Mario games into the stream mix as well. But it's mostly speedrunning content on my stream.
Cool. We will have two episodes recorded today. So the next episode is talking about SMO specifically. Sorry for that little teaser right there. That was not intended. But right now in this episode, we want to talk more about speedrun and speedrun advice in general. And first of all, I saw some of your times, and I mean, you look like a top runner in SMO, and you have a world record in I think Darkest Side. And
that's
you have,
right,
for
yeah.
example, also a sub-5 in Super Mario Brothers, which is like quite good in my opinion. It's like still 3 seconds away from world record, which can be quite a lot in that game, but it's still a good time. So my first question right away here is, how did you became so good as a speedrunner? What resources did you use, or did you just learn everything by your own? Go all about it.
Oh boy, okay. So I feel like there's a lot to unpack with a question like that. It's a pretty loaded question, and I like that. So I think it starts again, Mario is very nostalgic for me. So I think it has to do with the type of game. I think speedrunners should pick, like, I get a question a lot where people ask me like, oh, what game should I start with speedrunning? And I think the best answer to that question is just the game that you like the most.
Yeah.
Because you can speedrun anything, right? You can speedrun Pokemon, you can speedrun Zelda, you can speedrun, you know, Dark Souls, you can speedrun Mario, you can speedrun, you know, text like adventure games if you really wanted, you know? The possibilities are endless, and it doesn't even need to be like, you could start a YouTube or, you know, like a YouTube channel or a Twitch channel speedrunning like real life stuff if you wanted. Like, that's where speed cubing comes from, right? Like, speed cubers were the OG speedrunners before we started like developing it into video games, right? So I think that the first thing that you need to decide is that you want to pick a game that you enjoy. So for me, I started with Super Mario World, and I started with Super Mario World ages ago, and it was a very natural response. I picked it up. I had this file from when I was a kid that had 95 stars on it, which is one short. If you don't know Super Mario World, 96 exits in the game. I had 95. So it had stayed that way all through my childhood, and I didn't know what it was about. So it was about 2009 where I picked it up and I started playing it again, and I was like, we're going to find that last exit. And it ended up being one of the really dumb ones in Star World where there's like two exits for every level. But I think it was Star World 3 where you just have to like literally run from like this side of the screen to the next, and it's just like the gold tape is there. And I missed that one because I had the secret. But anyways, as I was playing through that game again, I was realizing, hey, you know, this is like, if you would follow this path like this, you could probably get to the end of this game really fast. Mm-hmm. And so I booted it up from the start, and then I just like beat the game following the path. And I was like, that didn't take long at all. I beat it in one sitting. That's pretty cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the next time I was like, how fast was that though? So I got a timer out and I did it again. And that, like, I don't mean to sound like a hipster, but like, I was into speedrunning before it was even a concept. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what it feels like. And I tried to look for resources. This is 2009, by the way. I tried to look for resources. I tried to like find communities for this kind of stuff, and there wasn't really anything. The only thing that existed was Speed Demos Archive. And Speed Demos Archive, kind of like the OG leaderboards of yesterday. And there wasn't really streaming going on back then, just Justin TV. So I had a little bit of that going on, but it wasn't really anything like huge. Like when I came back to speedrunning in Super Mario Odyssey in 2018, I realized that the community had blown up into this thing. And now there's these multi-million dollar like fundraising events hosted by GDQ. And like it's a more of an established thing. And there's like hundreds of like tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, maybe even like associated with it, doing it for themselves. So I think that, yeah, the main thing is that you have to enjoy it. And that's what keeps bringing me back to it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, 11 years later, you got to enjoy the game that you're playing. You got to be in love with the concept of, you know, being the best at your game, because that's what it is at the end of the day. Like, sometimes speedrunning gets a bad rep. Sometimes speedrunning gets a little bit of reputation of being like, oh, you're just cheating the game. You're not really playing it like this. It's not that. It's the opposite of that, really. It's, you know, you're looking at that game and you're trying to find ways to prolong its life cycle, because that's how I view it, I guess. Is speedrunning is a way of taking a game that you love and adding longevity to it. Because once you beat a Mario game and you played all the levels, you know what all the levels look like. There's no like second casual experience to a Mario game, because just playing the levels again kind of gets it deteriorates in value after a while, right? Whereas if you're speedrunning, you're actually adding achievement, you're adding purpose to the thing that you're doing. So I think that's the main driving force to why I speedrun, is because that is there. You know, you're adding your own replay value, and that in itself is very motivating, because you're like, I'm doing something that I really like doing, and I'm doing it better than I was yesterday, and it's still something that I enjoy, and I learned something new about it, so I enjoy it more. You know what I mean? And it just kind of compounds like that.
Yeah.
And in the case of Mario games, I think I just have a knack for Mario games because of the nostalgia, because I've been playing them since I was like 2 years old. You know, it's just like, it's so ingrained into me to understand how platforming games work that it just kind of came naturally to play them a lot and get better at them as a result of that. So, and Mario's kind of my genre. You mentioned that I do Odyssey, but I also do Super Mario Brothers. And I think that the reason I was able to seamlessly transition is because I have been doing 2D and 3D for quite a while now. So, you know, kind of just flows. It's kind of my thing. If you were asked me to speedrun a game like Zelda, I'd probably be a lot more clumsy with it, because, you know, usually the controller layouts are different, like what the buttons do and the controls and stuff are very different, and what those games accomplish as far as their glitches and how they're broken down and stuff, it would take, you know, a little bit of a mental restart to get on that. But, you know, I think the driving force is still there, and I could probably pull it off, but it would take me a bit longer.
Cool. That Well, that was a story I want to say that you started like before speedrunning even became a thing. It's like speedrunning is still so incredibly new, but it has been blowing up so much. And like,
it's true.
Even people who for example don't know speedruns know at least what HDQ is and that like fundraising marathon thingy. Like so many people who have no idea about this video game speedrunning stuff know about GDQ. It has definitely helped a lot with getting it out to the publicity. So another thing you do, besides like streaming on Twitch and doing speedruns yourself, you upload like certain tutorials or guides to YouTube. And, I think we both have like the same interest or passion for that. Like we want to help people because like speedrunning is still can still be for so many people, a relatively difficult thing to do. So what is your motivation for making those videos, for example? Like, what was your biggest motivation to make, hey, I want to make this beginner guide for SMO or this intermediate guide, or I want to analyze this this beginner run, so just to name a few of your video titles.
Right. I think that you do understand this fundamentally. I think that it comes from the same mindset where, you know, being kind of involved in a community makes you want to give it back to it, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was very impressed when I came back to speedrunning with Super Mario Odyssey in 2018 because there was such an involvement in it. I was very impressed with how Odyssey's community was such an overreaching thing. And you know, like you look at the Discord, for example, and there's like tens of thousands of people who are coming in there and they're looking at this game as something that they can do themselves, right? I have a Switch. I have a Super Mario Odyssey game cartridge. I can whip it up right now and I can start playing and I can maybe do something that I've seen on Twitch TV or something like that, right? And the resources available for Odyssey far outreach like other communities in terms of like accessibility. Like, so, you know, you can find resources for just about any game, but Super Mario Odyssey seems to have like one community that just like goes all in with trying to help everybody else out. And it's very inspiring, very inspiring. So I wanted to kind of get in on that myself, I guess, a little bit. I wanted to give back because I had taken from that resource. I felt like it was only the natural kind of course to go through. And I've been told that I have kind of a way of explaining things that makes sense to people. I've been told that I have an articulation, a way of like, you know, getting my point across that other people seem to kind of latch onto and really understand. And it almost felt like I was doing everybody a disservice by not doing something like this with, you know, the reputation that I've built up as a Twitch streamer, you know what I mean? So I think that was the driving force behind doing like tutorial kind of stuff is the fact that all of these things have kind of combined together. It just feels like the natural thing to do at this point.
So yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. One thing I would like to just talk about, I don't know how much you have done it yourself, but there, for every speedrun or for every semi-popular speedrun, there are at least like one tutorial of the basic route or of a beginner-friendly route, intermediate route, whatever, yada, yada, yada. And those tutorials are like great. But outside of that, there are so many more things people like are not really aware of, like mindset. How do I practice, for example, consistency? How do I practice and implement a new trick without like wasting my next month of attempts? You know, it's like kind of hard to do that, and I think like a lot of people miss out on that. And like I for example try to make videos on like why speedrunning is frustrating and how to help on that. And what is your take on all of that? Do you think we need like more of those tutorials in the community, and how should we approach this entire topic? Because I think you have a lot of knowledge to share on this. And yeah, I would just love to hear from you.
Yeah, I think that you have a very good point. I think that, you know, I, for example, I am learning Super Mario Galaxy right now. And it is kind of like a restart, right? Because it's a new game. It's got new mechanics. It's a 3D Mario game, but it controls in different ways. You know, you don't have a dive anymore, which is like baffling to me. No Cappy, for example. So, but like, if you go and into the resources for Super Mario Galaxy, they have a very comprehensive guide. Like, it's been typed up. It's in a Google document. It's like hundreds of pages long, basically like walking you through the entire game word for word. But if you follow along with it just as it is, you're not going to get anywhere with it. And that's like, it's absolutely good for somebody who understands the fundamentals, who understands like second nature, how the controls work. But for somebody coming in brand new, looking at this guide, they just see an instruction manual, but they don't actually have the tools to be able to put together the instruction manual. And I think that that is true of a lot of speed games, like Super Mario World 2. A lot of the video resources there are just like, this is how you do the level fast. And then that's it. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really kind of walk you through, you know, as you were saying, the steps to get there in the first place. Mm. And because you can't just go from nothing to that immediately. And I think that there is a gap there for sure. There's definitely a gap to be filled there. And I think taking people through each step of the journey is something that could be done to kind of nudge people into it a little bit more, make it a little bit more accessible. I have some, you know, basic pointers that I give people on a regular basis about this kind of stuff. And it really just comes down to playing the game, because I think the best thing you can do as a beginner is just play the game to the point of like automation. And, you know, it's really tempting to look above you and see all of the cool tricks that they're doing and like breaking the game and stuff like that. But then when you try to do it yourself, you get frustrated, right? Like you just kind of have to know that you take it at your own pace. And I think... Yeah. Information about that kind of stuff. And I think that the more that that idea is enforced, that you don't have to rush yourself with these kinds of things, because, you know, it's the same as like looking at a musician, right? When you look at a musician and somebody who's very talented, maybe they're in an orchestra or something, and you see them pull out these like brilliant virtuosos on the violin, and you're like, wow, that's amazing. And then you pick up a violin and you're like, I want to do that. You're not going to be able to do it, right?
Yeah.
What you don't see is the thousands and thousands and thousands of hours that that person has put into that, right? And the thing with music is that it's been around a lot longer than speedrunning has. So if you are a beginner into music, you can go on YouTube and you can find the resources for like basically just getting off the ground. Like, this is what the C note sounds like. You know what I mean? There needs to be more of that in speedrunning. There needs to be more of like, you know, really just very easily nudging people into it, being like, this mm-hmm. is what the jump button does. But mm-hmm. if you combine the jump button with this, now you're getting somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, the game itself tells you how to use the controls, but I think that, you know, it could be better if it was explained from somebody from a speedrunning perspective, maybe.
One thing I like, I watched some of your videos, and one thing I really liked what you said in one of your recent videos is, like, people need to focus far more on consistency than the speed. Like, if something is speed is like a lot faster for you, but you can't keep up with it consistently, then it won't do any good for your runs over for the next few runs. And you need to get into that speed on like over a longer period of time. And I think that's something a lot of people, especially new people, get wrong. Like, I see so many people, I'm a Celeste speedrunner in Celeste, who get stuck on a certain time barrier because they try too hard, or they don't really understand the concept of how to practice. And it's like, when I try to explain those things, for example, I feel sometimes like, is that even worth to mention? Because for me, those things are like super easy to understand, but for new people it's like really hard to understand like these basics, like how to practice, how do I get good. And I think that's something people really underestimate, that that it really takes a lot of time. And, you know, I think that's the biggest aspect people underestimate. Like,
absolutely,
you just said it, that like most speedrunners, like the only two things they need to do is like you use the time to practice efficiently and then let the time do the rest. And most of them would be like a lot better if they just stick to that. And it's like really hard because, you know, you want to get good instantly, but
yes,
you simply can't. It's really, really hard. And as I said, figuring out speedrunning takes time. And I had this in an episode with Cosmic. You know Cosmic probably.
Of course, yeah.
He says, like, once you were on this like world record or high level of skill in one speedrun, you can most of the time simply copy and paste how you learn a speedrun to another game, and you can get good very easily that on that way. So let's talk a little bit about that. Like, how yeah. how would you tell somebody who's like, when they watch your stream and you learn a new game, it looks so easy, what would you tell them to get the same experience or to get to a similar result as you do?
Well, it's funny. I've actually been stewing on this as a bit of like a video idea in itself because I'm going to be starting with Galaxy, right? So the idea behind it is that I'm going to kind of practice what I preach, so to speak. Like people come and ask me questions in my stream all the time about like I'm just starting out, what should I do? And I give them really general advice based on the numbers that they give me. Like I'm getting a 120, what should I do right now? But like, actually going in depth on that and like starting from the beginning with a game and coming up and kind of doing the thing. So copy and paste is a good kind of model for mentality. It still does take a little while to get used to everything that goes on in a new game. So like starting out with a new game with Galaxy, for example, what I'm doing right now is playing through all that I've been given. I've been given that guide, like I said, but reading through the guide from start to finish is kind of like, this is too much for me. So what you should do as a beginner is just like maybe use the route so you know which stars you need to collect, but then going in that order, but just playing the game how you would. Don't be afraid of being a casual, I guess. You're allowed to be a casual at the beginning because you are a casual, right? You're not a professional yet. You haven't been like, if you're looking at somebody who's in carpentry and they're, making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year at being a carpenter, you can't just like hop into their shoes and like start building houses with them. Like you have to learn how to build your birdhouse first, right? So you are a casual when you start. You have to learn how to play the game first, and that goes for any game, right? You have to learn how to play it first, and then I think my next really kind of overlooked point that I like to make is the community element. Part of the reason that I was able to get so good at Odyssey really fast is because I was involving myself in the communities of Odyssey. There were always streamers on that were streaming Odyssey. They were always doing something with Odyssey and just involving myself with them. I know it's a lot to ask because not only are you investing so much time learning how to speed run this game, but you're also investing more time on the side being involved in the community around that speed game. Like this is, you have to realize I'm coming from a perspective of, I guess, privilege when it comes to this because this is my job. This is what I do. So I have all the time to put into this. But this is, this is my kind of layout, my instructions to how to get good, right? If you're involved in the communities, a lot of the people who are speedrunning the games will not be offended if you ask questions. They won't be offended if you go in and you're curious, because if they're anything like me, and I know they are, they're just interested in, getting better themselves. And if they find that more people are passionate about that, then there's more people, more voices to bounce ideas off of, to figure things out, to solve the problems. They're all going to get better together, right? I think that's a really cool thing about speedrunning, by the way, just in general, is like the communities are competitive in the sense that we have a leaderboard that displays names, but we find the value in collaborating anyways because it's more of a personal endeavor. It's you against yourself. It's not you against them. It's you against yourself to get better than yesterday, right? So the second point for sure is that being involved in the communities around your games is probably like one of the most underrated things because you can throw yourself at the brick wall for like, weeks, months, and not understand what's going on. And you can take one step into somebody else's stream and see them do it and ask them what they're doing. Answer, problem solved. Or reverse engineer that too. Like when I was learning how to do nut clip, I was getting my timing wrong. And I just asked one of the top runners, "Hey, do you mind if you just come into my stream and you watch me do this trick?" And they're like, "Oh yeah." And then like first thing that they saw, they were like, "Oh yeah, you're a little bit too early on that. Fixed it, done," just like that. Like being involved in the community with everybody else who's trying to do the same thing as you is like one of the most valuable things that you can do. And come back to Super Mario Brothers, actually, same thing. We were talking about Cosmic. When I was going for that sub five, I spent like all of my free time, all of my nights in Cosmic's stream, watching him doing what he's doing. And like, I branched out a little bit too. GT Ace is really good. And I went back to some of Darbyan's old videos, and you've got Andrew G and all those guys. Like you do your research, I guess. It's kind of like research, right? But it's collaborative research among everybody who's doing it. So those are like the two most valuable things that you can do at the beginning is just play the shit out of your game. I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to say that probably, but
it's fine. It's fine.
and be involved in the community, be involved in what you're doing, and like everybody around you that's also doing the same thing. Like that's where you got to start.
The speedrun community in general is like very supportive. They always want new people to enjoy the game and want new people in the community, and they help out everybody. Like I never experienced someone who wasn't like wanting to help me out when I ask him something. And it's like, people, like, especially who never speedrun themselves, underestimate how huge of a community aspect a speedrun is. Like, Cosmic said one interesting thing when I recorded with him, that let's say there was one very isolated person who never talked with anybody else. They could never pull off any of the high level speedruns in any game because one person alone could never figure out everything to be that fast. And I think that speaks a lot that you can never go that far as one person. So having a few more people who are as passionate as you are to figure out the fastest stuff is like really, really crucial to get a good speedrun actually in the first place developed before getting it executed. I mean, another great example, for example, would be Ocarina of Time, where there are like people who basically just do glitch hunters and routing, and then, you know, they research a better route for 1 or 2 months for 100%, and then ZFG analyzes and learns this route, and he pulls off a new world record, and that's the progress of that game since whenever the game came out. Like, it's kind of crazy. And, God, I want to ask one thing, but I forgot it.
Maybe it'll come back to you.
Yeah. God, I'm out of... I forgot it. I will just move on to the next point, man.
Sure, yeah.
It's like...
We can loop back around, yeah, maybe.
To sum it up, a community... really, really, really important. Don't underestimate talking with people. You can also use Discords. Every speedrun community has a Discord now, not only in stream.
And if it's not for one game, sometimes it's about a whole series. Like the Pokemon series is just one community Discord.
True.
Because they're very similar games. So
one thing I also want to talk about, and that's like time efficiency, because I think most speedrunners, if they are not full-time, and even full-time streamers need time efficiency. How do you use your time efficiently, especially when it comes down to practice and to play, for example, longer speedruns? Like, I don't know how long Darkest Side is, but I think it's like 2 to 3 hours. That's like something not everybody can do, for example, every day. So how do you go about, for example, practicing that? How do you use your time to get like the most out of it? I think everybody could use that and everybody could improve on that forever.
Certainly, yeah. And I think that this gets kind of taken in stages because, like I said, at the beginning, like your time is most beneficial for you if you just play the game because you still need to, you need to get to a point, you need to get to a proficiency with your game where you don't even think about the controls anymore. Like I was doing a 12-hour challenge for Super Mario Sunshine and 12 hours was not nearly enough to be able to grasp the concept of using the flood mechanics and also the fact that you can like turn in the air with first person and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's pretty tricky to use, I assume.
Exactly, right? So you need to get to a level of proficiency with your game where you don't need to think about that kind of stuff anymore. And then, you know, I think that just kind of gets built up by playing the game. So if you don't have the proficiency to be able to use your controls, Just play the game. You know, you might be able to watch some other speedrunners and you'll see them do a trick and they might say it's pretty easy. And like, you feel like you have a good enough grasp on the controls to be able to do that trick. Then by all means, you know, spend a little bit of time trying that. And if it works out, it works out. You know, there's plenty of like easy skips in video games, right? Where you accidentally just like jump over a wall instead of like following a path or something. Like, that stuff you shouldn't just leave out because I'm saying just play the game. Like, you're allowed to take a little bit of creative liberties in your speedruns at the beginning if they're easy to do. But then again, it kind of gets to a point after that. Once you have like complete dominance over your ability to control the character, then it gets into the point where like you might hit a plateau and you might not be able to get any better by just playing the game anymore. So I think that at that point, that's when you start kind of focusing on more direct practice. You figure out the things that, you know, and again, going back to the community element, you're watching other people around your skill level too. Maybe they're a couple of minutes ahead of you and they're doing something that you're not. And you can see that and you can go, okay, well, maybe that's the thing that I need to do to shave off 10, 15 seconds, right? So you dedicate specific practice time to that. Or maybe you're at a point where like you're doing really well with your speed runs, but you keep losing 2 minutes because you keep making a dumb mistake in one particular area of the game. And you're like, that area sucks. maybe I need to put some dedicated practice, some direct practice into that area specifically. That's where like that's where you kind of need to divert your time from just doing runs to practice. And it's very easy to kind of point out the stuff that you need to work on. Like, you know, if you're for Odyssey, for example, if your Moon Kingdom is like a 515 and you have a 110, that's probably really good. Like that's way better than you ought to have. So don't practice Moon Kingdom. You don't need to, right? But if you keep dying in Luncheon Kingdom and you keep losing 20 seconds there, and it seems like every single time you get there in the speedrun, you're really nervous, like maybe that's where you need to practice. So just put aside some dedicated practice and, you know, don't try and do anything flashy with your practice. Just kind of play it the way that you would, but just build up that consistency. Because the consistency at the end of the day is really the most important thing, right? You need to get, you it's basically just like trying to kind of climb to another plateau and then meeting that plateau with consistency and then using your practice time to learn something else, using your practice time to gain the consistency in that thing. And then it kind of, you keep raising the ceiling on it, basically.
Exactly. It's, yeah, I mean, when I, for example, grinded out a sub 32 in Celeste, I also like, most of what I did in my time where I didn't do full runs, I just sit down and try to get to my consistent goal time in specific chapter of the game. So, hey, I want to have a sub 3 there consistently, then I do, and I just play the chapter for like an hour or two where I don't reset ever, so I get an actual consistent result of how good am I doing and what I need to fix. And it can be kind of boring, it can be kind of annoying to do those things, but if you are that serious about speedrunning, you unfortunately need to do those things. It's like the truth reality. And we already said, like, yeah, you need to focus on consistency, not speed. I think we said already everything about that. We also talked about motivation and enjoyment. It's like one thing I would like to ask about that is, like, it is obviously one of the most, if not the most important part in speedrunning. It's like for everything, if you don't have motivation to do something, then you can say you waste your time of life if you want to talk about it in an extreme way. But how do you keep motivation? Like what is the best way to keep motivation? Because, for example, me and a bunch of friends from the Celeste community, we currently had a downtime for that game. What went wrong, or what could have went wrong, and what should we do about that in specific? Because like we all don't play Celeste right now.
Hey, that's fair. Burnout is a real thing, and like, you know, it could just be from, you know, we were talking about how like you learn something new and then you rise to that plateau. Sometimes you just there's no give, right? Sometimes you feel like there is no room for improvement there. It's just not going to happen. And that can lead to burnout really fast. And I think it really comes down to, like, if you still really love the game and you're still passionate about playing the game, you don't necessarily need to just like quit cold turkey on it. Like, that's the reason that I've avoided burnout from playing Super Mario Odyssey, like, you know, 5 to 8 hours a day, 7 days a week for 2 years. The reason I've been able to avoid burnout is because I can divert my attention to some other category. Mm-hmm. You know, any percent's the main category. It's the one everybody knows. It's the easiest to get into. And it should be the stepping stone to get into the game in the first place, because it's very minimal investment to start with any percent. But, you know, if you get really interested in it, you can divert your attention to other categories that have, like, they open up new worlds. You know, they understand different tricks. You know, you have to have a different kind of skill set to get through one of those runs. Like any percent world peace, 14 minutes of difference, but you do so much more in world peace that you would never see in any percent. You know, you're doing tricks to get into areas that you don't usually need to go to in any percent. So like that makes it fresh, you know, suddenly you're learning all of this new stuff and suddenly you're trying to do that same optimization that you were doing over here, but now you're doing it over here. And because you're playing the game more, because you've already been playing the game over here for so long, it just, like, the natural progression to get better over here is just suddenly so easy. And it can kind of spark that passion again, because you're like, look at all this improvement I'm making, right? And, you know, the funny thing about that is that if you're doing that and you do that for so long in world peace that you just like hit this plateau again, but you've been playing the game for all of that time still. Like that 3 months that you moved over to World Peace, you're still playing Super Mario Odyssey. You go over back to any percent and suddenly a key's unlocked that you didn't even realize. And you just get a PB that's like 30 seconds again. You're still playing. That's the kind of like I've hacked my brain to do that kind of stuff, right? It's amazing how much you can still improve in the game. Even though you're not doing the specific category, you're still playing the game. You're still, you know, tightening up your movements. You're still like, you're just getting such a sense of how to play the game. It's just in a different area. It works for me because it hacks my brain into thinking that I'm, you know, doing something new, but it's the same. It's just, it's two different categories and your improvement is kind of lateral all the way across. Right. So that's, I think that's my hack. I understand that not everybody has the time to do longer categories. And not everybody wants to do some of the harder tricks, or they don't necessarily want to do something that is longer, and that's fine, I guess. Maybe, you know, taking a break is not such a big deal. I've heard of a lot of speedrunners who will take a break for a week or two and then they'll come back to the game and suddenly they'll just have that as well. Right. Sometimes avoiding the burnout by taking a break is what you needed to get to the next level.
I was about to talk about that after you explained everything, because what I learned when I, you know, played competitive fighting games, what I learned the most from that is, practice only comes into play if you gave your brain enough rest time, because otherwise your brain can't, you know, really use all the practice you put into. So if, let's say, you practice something for a day or two, give yourself like one day off eventually, or focus on something else. And it seems impossible to beat that certain time on that day you practice it, but on the other day it will be a lot easier. I had that multiple times where like we're stuck on something for 3 hours or whatever, and then on the next day I was like a lot easier to do and I pulled it off in like the next 10 minutes or so. It's like, it's that simple, but so many people don't realize that you have to take a break too. It's sometimes all you need to do.
It's a good point that you're making, actually, and I kind of forgot about it, but I think that we live in a culture just in general where like grinding and, you know, doing, like, think about studying for school, for example. Like when you have a test tomorrow, you cram as much as you can like the night before, and then like there's only so much you can do, right?
Yeah.
The information doesn't retain in that moment because it's just not how we work. It's not how our brains work. It's not a very encouraging thing to hear, but the truth of it is we get better over time, and the rest period is part of that time. Like you just kind of have to deal with that, you know? An example for me is Wooded Kingdom. I don't know if you've watched any 80% speedruns for Super Mario Odyssey, but Wooded Kingdom is the worst.
And I've watched some speedruns.
Wooded Kingdom is the worst. It's the easiest kingdom to just kill your run. And this exact thing that you're talking about happened to me. I was like, okay, I need to get better at Wooded Kingdom. I need to get better time in this. So I spent... it was probably a good 6 hours doing ILs, individual levels of Wooded Kingdom, just Wooded Kingdom for 6 hours. I've made no improvements at all. Even though I was incorporating all of these new things, like my sum of best for the kingdom was significantly lower than my best I'd ever done. It just wasn't happening because my consistency wasn't there. It just wasn't piecing it together. Went to bed defeated, woke up the next day, got it on the second try.
Yeah.
Just like that. You know what I mean?
I had a similar experience yesterday where I got recently into Mario Kart Double Dash time trials, and I tried to beat a certain time for like for an hour or half an hour, and I couldn't do it. My hands were also like a little bit hurting. And then I took a break for 1 or 2 hours, talked with people, played some other games, or watched the series, and then after like 10 minutes, I got the time I want to get, and it was so much easier. It's like, it's insane that, yeah, you said it, that our culture is like so fast paced and hectic. I think far more people need to like take away 10 or 20 minutes out of their life to just give time for yourself and your brain. You just do nothing, maybe relax in the nature or whatever. It's like, it can be so much more helpful. And I realized that today, or the recent days. I was like, I didn't know what to do with my time, where my life was going. And then I took a little bit of time where I just, you know, sit down, do nothing, maybe think about what I want to do today. And it helped me a lot, for example. So Yeah, take your time, people. That was a little bit off topic. One final thing, because I think you can talk a lot about that before we end up this episode. We talked quite a lot for this first recording. And that is, I think, it kind of goes hand in hand with like watching other streamers, let other streamers watch you to learn something. What about coaching in speedrunning? Because we talked about speedrunning is getting to a point where it becomes a proficiency, and every other professional thing has like coaching involved. Like every good athlete is had a coach to get them to that point. And is the same, and like other esport titles have the same. Is the same going to happen to speedrunning? Is it even useful? Because when I think about, like, I love to help people and I love to educate people about speedrunning. I have a good friend of mine who recently started speedrunning, Celeste. I've teached them everything I know. I gave them like strats they should learn next, and they had a lot of fun with that. But when I always want to help other people, I ask myself, like, speedrunning is such a, you know, you improve on your own, you want to experience yourself. Is a coach really, you know, going to destroy the spirit? Or, you know, I don't know, it sounds weird, but what do you think about that? I think that's a good last point for this episode.
Absolutely. And I think you make a good point, your last point saying, is it ruining the spirit? I don't think it is. And it doesn't necessarily need to be a competitive element or a sport to need a coach. Like, I feel like that same sentiment that is it going to ruin the spirit also happened to Super Smash Brothers at a point. Mm-hmm. It's still kind of a contentious issue where, like, you know, there's rules on whether the coach is allowed to come on to the stage and help the player out and stuff like that. Like, you know, coaches are kind of a weird contentious thing in video games still. But, you know, I think that the main reason that they haven't really blown up is because it's not a professional thing yet, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not big enough to warrant the need for a secondary service. Mm-hmm. Of that kind, right? It's still in the hobby phase mostly, right? There's definitely people who are making their money on Twitch by being streamers as well as speedrunners, but the speedrunning itself is still not the main income source for any speedrunner, really. It's the streaming, with a couple of exceptions, right? But so I think that coaching is definitely something that would help people. I think that there's value in that. And when I was doing this series on YouTube that I've been posting recently, this whole like beginner tips, intermediate tips, like
I watched that.
I have one more on the way as well. And the chat was all just about like, you should do this more. Like, there's so many people who would want you to do this to their speedruns too, mm-hmm. because there's things that they can learn from what you're providing. Like, it's such a valuable resource. And I said, you know, that is not a bad idea. It's just a matter of, like, I think that you have to realize that the coaches need to be kind of compensated for that as well. There needs to be a give and take. Like, I think there is value in it. It's just that the value needs to be given back to the person doing the coaching as well. You can't expect it for free. Yeah, and that's where that's where we hit the wall.
True. Right? I was thinking the same.
Because I think that it would absolutely help people, but it isn't necessarily something that people are willing to pay for yet, because it's still kind of in a hobby phase.
Yeah.
And I think that if it does elevate, if speedrunning does get to here where there are people like more than just like one or two, there's like, you know, maybe 100 people making money doing speedrunning specifically, that's when coaching is going to start coming in. It's because it's going to be taken more seriously. But I don't think we're quite there yet. I would love to do that kind of stuff, and I do it very casually on my stream all the time. It's just not quite there yet, I think.
Same. Yeah, I had a real long time ago, I had like an 8-hour stream where I took like 3 or 4 of my most of my viewers who gave me their speedruns, and I looked over them, I just watched them, as you did probably, and I just, mm-hmm. you know, pointed out specific mistakes or what they could do better, maybe gave a strat here or there, and then moved on. And I totally loved that, and I got really good positive feedback for that, and I would love to be like full serious about that with someone if, you know, the money would come in. I wouldn't even pay that, I don't know the word, I wouldn't even want that much money, but I think, yeah, it probably takes time, but it would be really cool. Like, to be honest, I'm at some point I'm thinking, what if in a few years, like few 10 or 20 years, speedrunning is getting to a point where it gets like that serious, then like retired speedrunners, you know, they have actually a future they could choose, like being a coach.
That's very true.
And help people. And I really think like this entire streaming brand or making money with that is going to explode over the next years even more than it already did. And I'm really looking forward to what is going to happen.
Me too.
Especially speedrun wise. And I think that, wow, that was a beautiful episode. We stopped now the recording. See you all for the first episode. The next episode is coming out next week. And see you. Bye.
See you later.
Yo, wasn't that a beautiful first episode we had with Dangerous? As I said, don't forget to check out next week's episode where we talked primarily about Super Mario Odyssey. He talked a lot about this game, how to get into this game, how he got into this game, and I personally got more of an interest to start speedrunning this game at some point just because of this recording. I hope you have a similar experience. But yeah, check out the episode next week. As I said, subscribe to the podcast if you don't want to miss it. I would highly appreciate it. And yeah, that's all I have to say. And thank you for listening.